I'm down to last two, and since I don't count, Bernie Nofel has like, and because he's our last one, you weren't here, you get the raffle. Which is, I'll explain it afterwards. But just a reminder, if you guys have kids, one of the Mad Libs is a 50 Shades of Grey, so don't share that one with the kids. So here's Bernie with likes.
The story began like a colorful, burgeoning mushroom cloud of hope, blossoming above a world of mundane black and white, or like a red permanent marker saying, "Look at me," written by a naughty child on a wall of eggshell, or maybe a crude Swiss coffee or cotton. It continued as a young man making love for the first time, his motions like poetry. "When I make love to you, I feel that I can touch the sky and that I will live forever." Alas, the story, like the young man, would instead last exactly 3 minutes. Maybe less. The audience were transfixed like ancient pirate zombies thirsting for brains, fixating at the writer whose own brain was a colossus, a kraken amongst minnows, a terrific towering titan amongst anxious ants, or like a very big thing surrounded by things that were not quite as big. Their mouths were agape like baleen whales scooping swimming pools full of krill. Only what they were digesting wasn't krill. It was more like something someone on a paleo diet could order in a restaurant and not feel ridiculous, yummy, and dignified, like an edible Mr. Monopoly guy. The tide, however, began to gradually turn like an aircraft carrier steered by a sanguine, slack-jawed sailor who was sullen, sedate, stupid, and smelled bad. "Why, I'm beginning to suspect," a child's quiet declaration pierced the starstruck audience like a newborn infant's first cry pierces the tense silence, breaking the mirror of what was considered reality into a circus madhouse of monstrous misshapes and shards of dream pieces that will never fit together. "I'm beginning to suspect this author is stuck on simile and deep in a metaphor addiction. He has no story. He just has a bunch of nonsensical similes randomly and stupidly strung together like a crappy Christmas tree." The author began to sweat like a really, really sweaty guy. The crowd grew tensed like thirsty cattle closely corralled during a thunderstorm, a tightly compressed spring pressing against each other, a collective cobra needing just the snapping of a twig to break into a mad stampede and strike out with its poison in all directions. "This author has no clothes," hollered another. "Yes, that's no metaphor. He has no pants. Why didn't we notice that before?" The situation was growing out of control, like weeds in the yard of that weird drunken guy nobody likes. The crowd's eyes were like that X-Man guy whose eyes shoot out that red ray when he takes off his sunglasses. Just like that, the author could see his life flash before his eyes, and when he thought of March 8, 1992, he had to chuckle. That was pretty funny, really. Just as death was as imminent as the three-minute bell, a young girl speaking with the innocence of Iago's wife, Amelia, or Perry Mason's best client, said just three words. Three words that made all the difference. Just three words. "I liked it," she said. "I liked it too, little one," said the author. "I liked it too."